welcome to the call. You're on the telephone. We're just getting ready to start the broadcast for our Tuesday night celebration of life, and we are live. How exciting is this? And we are now. It's great to be here with everyone tonight. Just finished a coaching session with Kevin Hall on our special holiday gift, and what a joy to be with him for the last hour. And now we get to spend time tonight and really dive into the single greatest thing we'll ever discuss on these calls, the greatest secret of success in all ventures. Welcome to the call tonight. Each week we take on a new quality of an intentional creator. There are six of them: connecting with people, mental creation, physical creation, discipline and structure, joy in the journey, and healing self-esteem. And tonight is the kickoff. We've got several people just coming off of coaching sessions who are with us tonight, and this is our opportunity to dive into several weeks of these principles to drive them deeper into your life. And if you will come back often and listen, these calls are recorded and they are kept in your group coaching section of your intentional creation studio, so you can go back and listen to them. Or if you miss one, you can obviously go back and listen to them. What a joy to be with you. Ramona's sitting here next to me, my sweetheart. We just got back from a wonderful trip down to Las Vegas to speak to a group of just powerful people. It's always so wonderful to be with people who want to take on their lives and learn new principles. Well, tonight we're going to talk about what Ogg calls the greatest secret of success in all ventures. A couple of principles. Number one, everyone has a wall of resistance. Many of us have been hiding out behind these walls for a good part of our lives. For me, I know that when I was growing, I had a client recently actually say this, and it resonated because I know what she was saying. She said, I was raised in my bedroom. Well, my bedroom was my fortress. That was my safe place. That's where I went to get away from the world. And had a very vivid imagination. Some of my very best friends were imaginary characters. Perhaps that's true for you too. And we develop this wall, Ogg says, because of hate and suspicion. Hate's a tough word. But suspicion, things have happened in our lives, so we've got this protective shell around us. Well, the truth is, this is real. It's actually been measured, scientifically measured, by Dr. Robert Hartman, University of Tennessee, and he determined that on average, in a non-adversarial relationship, that's like a spouse, that we hold back 40% of our cooperation and productivity behind this wall, even with those that we love the most. Imagine how much we hold back with everyone else. We might feel uncomfortable, uneasy, and we might have self-esteem issues. And I talk about us first, because then I want us to step outside of this fortress, if you will. And in the book on page 62 in the new PDF, if you have a copy of that, I talk about these walls of resistance. And when we get into this wall and we step outside of it and we look out over the hillside, we see it dotted with thousands of fortresses. Everybody's got one. And on average, 40% of their cooperation held back amongst friends. And when we try to sell them something or convince them or persuade them and we don't know them, there's a good chance that that wall could even be higher. Well, if that's true, we just want to know that's the truth. We feel it in our own lives. We know we sometimes are a little reclusive, a little reserved, very private. Just know everyone is. They don't look like it because we don't look like it either. People see us, we look okay. We see them, they look okay. So sometimes we just begin talking and throwing up all over them. Blah, 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 blah. Splashes back. Tastes awful. It's called rejection. Because that wall is present. So if we can, in our minds, envision a wall around everyone we meet. Everyone. Come home. I'm here with Ramona. I want to be able to see this wall. We'll have a great conversation. It's been one of those days today. I've had eight or nine coaching sessions. It's been wonderful, but I haven't had a chance to really connect with Ramona. I can't wait till this evening to stand in front of her wall and listen for a door to open and step in and see how she's doing and really listen to her. Everybody's got a wall. The whole concept behind connecting with people is getting inside the wall until the wall can come down and there's no need for a wall. That's what connection really means. It means to be able to converse, to talk without walls. There is a process by which we can take down these walls, and I'm going to walk through and share with you some of the key ingredients, how to do that tonight, so I have a pen and a paper handy. But just know the rules have changed. We don't get to play the old way. The old way was, Og talks about in Scroll 2, he says, I'll greet this day with love in my heart. Not eros, pia, philo, but agape love. Agape meaning a heightened level of awareness. This is how I'm going to greet the day. Then he says, this is the greatest secret of success in all ventures. Whether you sell pipe in West Texas, or whether you're in the network marketing business, or whether you're in a relationship, this is how we're going to connect. This is any venture. Then he says, muscle can split a shield and even destroy life. What does that mean? It means I can be forceful. I can be in charge. I can be right. I can be obstinate. I can be angry. Muscle can split a shield. That means we can break down the wall with a sledgehammer, but only this great principle of love will open the hearts of men. That means all mankind. And until I master this art, I'm no more than a peddler in the marketplace. We don't like it when people are peddlers to us, and they don't like it when we act like peddlers to them. Then he emphasizes it with this emphatic statement, I will make love my greatest weapon. And none on whom I call, not some, none on whom I call can defend against its force. With love I can open up all hearts, like in the sun whose rays soften the coldest clay. Not some hearts, all hearts. All hearts. Now he doesn't give us a timeline, but we can do this with agape love. Well, how do we do this? You know, we talk about having rapport, you know, kind of the superficial, oh, okay, we got that part out of the way, now let's move on to the sale, you know, kind of thing. This isn't about creating rapport. This is about taking down walls. Walls come down when, write this down, when they know that I know where they are and I didn't need to fix them. They finally feel understood. That's the gift. That's the gift. Well, how do we get to this point? What do we do? Well, there are a couple of tools that we're going to want to master. We'll get better over time. They're empathy and they're intuition. Intuition is that inner sense of knowing. And empathy, as Kevin was just sharing with us, In our previous call, empathy, he says EM, and empathy means to go on or get on or go in. Empathy means to go on someone's path. How are we able to go on someone's path? How can we see it through their eyes? Well, we see it through their eyes because we're bringing our own life experiences as reference points. I wonder if it's like this. I wonder if they're experiencing this. Well, how do we have access to these reference points from our life? Many of us, because of our challenges, are just dragging them around in a sack behind us. You want to go into the recording and this quality one and listen to the Chicago Dream, where I was dragging behind this 200-pound sack that was over my right shoulder and dragging on the ground. I'm looking down at it right now for those of you on the phone. This massive sack just packed full of all of my inabilities and discouragements and failures and everything I'd done to hurt anyone and everything that had been done to me to hurt me, all of this pain in my sack, dragging it around, it was exhausting. How many of us are just exhausted dragging it around? And while we're dragging it around, we're wanting people to understand how hard this is. Doesn't anybody appreciate how painful this is, how much stress this is, how hard I work, all the sacrifices I make? Can you feel it? Well, the truth of the matter is everybody else is dragging around a sack. And they're exhausted too. And if they've got any energy left, and we're demanding it, we can just suck them dry in a heartbeat. And we leave all these people absolutely drained of energy, and we can still be resentful, that that's all they gave us. I need more than that. I really need people to appreciate what I'm going through. Well, this is a great lesson, because Og's trying to share with us in his greatest secret. That may be true. It might be nice if, but don't expect it. Because if you do, you'll be constantly disappointed. Because if everybody else is dragging around a sack and everybody else is exhausted, they don't have the energy to give us. Not if we just need to keep taking energy. The great secret of success is that we empty the sack. We look at all those experiences, all that pain, all that frustration, all that burden, and we pick up piece by piece, and we ask ourselves, is anybody else suffering from a similar wound? There's a thought process that might say, I don't care. I'm suffering. It hurts. Now go back. Is anyone else suffering from a similar wound? I still remember that moment in my dream. And I said, yes. Then engrave this on your heart, which means make it part of your character. Whew. Next one. Is anybody else suffering from a similar wound? Yes. Then engrave it on your heart. Heart expands. We become lighter of foot, if you will. More complete and whole. We are owning our life. There are things that we may have sought forgiveness or things for which we felt guilt or shame. Guilt meaning we feel bad about what we did. Shame, we're starting to feel bad about who we are. And we get to let that go. This isn't about putting shame and guilt in our heart. It's about putting the intuitive experience we had in our heart so that we have it as a reference point. Wow. Our character, your character, has been forged in the furnace of adversity. You know what pain feels like. Now, we don't get to take back the past. We can't. It's impossible. But we can use these reference points that we've held now in our heart as a rich resource to better understand and connect with another person. And when we do, there is finally purpose in all of that craziness, all that pain. There's finally purpose. And as we move forward, there's finally joy in our journey and much healing in our soul. Why? Because now, armed with these experiences engraved on our heart, we can step onto somebody else's path. How do we do that? Well, first one, we start noticing people. We notice them. We notice the good they do. What's good about them? What's important to them? Now, at first, that can feel awkward because we might feel like we're being fake or phony, which is not true. We're just finally having awareness. We're finally seeing. And we will see more than we've verbalized in the past. It's now time to start verbalizing it. Someone smiles when they do something for you that's kind. Thank you. Thank you for your kindness. Well, this gives us an opportunity to start noticing. Then we want to start caring. Now, foundational to this principle, absolutely foundational, is a decision. That's a tough decision. For many, it's a tough decision. It's the decision that in our secret desires, our real intentions, those private fantasies and dreams we have, when we're by ourselves driving in the car, lying in bed at night, and everyone's asleep, and our mind begins to wander, where does it go? Is there any risk that it just wants to escape to a time when we don't have these challenges and then start living beyond it? Does it want a life of ease without pain and stress and frustration? Is that our secret desire? Because if it is, we'll know that it's going to be very hard to take what's in our sack and put it in our heart and show up exercising the single greatest secret of success. What's the decision then? The decision is to re-engage in life and to embrace these principles, to connect with and serve people, create value everywhere we go and enrich the world. We want to make that decision first, because at this moment of taking it out of the sack, put it in my heart, showing up, noticing, and now I'm going to start caring, this could get really complex and difficult if I just want to get away from it all. I just want to tell people, look, you know, I'm sick and tired of annoying people. I just want a house on the hill that's big with a gate around it, and I can just be left alone. Let's not go there. Let us find the courage to actually experience success. And that will require that we engrave our experiences and hold them right here. And now we're standing in front of a human being. Remember, they've got a wall. They've got a big oak door hanging on these big iron hinges. Just visualize it. No doorknob. You can't open it. It must be opened from inside. Door opens, and we hear something. A verbal hint about what's going on inside that world. Now, most people give us just a little touch. It's like they're saying, does anybody care? I'm really tired. Kids didn't sleep very well last night. Doesn't anybody care about me? Just those little hints. And how often when we hear one of those, are we in our world opening the door and saying, I'm tired too. Nobody cares about me either. Yeah, my kids didn't sleep well last night either. Now we're outside our world. We're standing in front of their door. The door opens and we hear the verbal hint. I'm really tired. It's not about us anymore. We're focused on them. And we say, tell me more about that. As they reach out a hand and usher us into their world. We might also say, well, share with me what you're thinking. Share with me what happened. I'm listening. This decision will separate you from every other human being. It's very rare. It's very rare. To care enough to step into somebody else's world. Now, when you do, I want you to notice in your hand, your left hand, there's an agenda. That's everything we want to sell or persuade or convince somebody about. In our right hand is all of our baggage. Those are thoughts that where we need to be right or defend or justify or fix. Just see those two bags, these two suitcases. Just set them down by the door and walk in free, totally free of an agenda, totally free of baggage, and an active, empathetic listener. We're not going to listen. We're there to serve them. I'm listening. And they begin to share. In the past, when we listened, we often were formulating an answer while they're talking. And as soon as they take a breath, boom, we pounce in and we address it, right? That's what we typically do. But not this time. This time we really want to understand where they are. When they finish talking, let us go 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000. I'm just listening. What a gift to listen in silence. People are kind of, you know, sometimes they don't take very big breaths because everybody jumps in. And they take a breath and you don't jump in, all of a sudden they can start to become more and more comfortable. And pretty soon they feel like they can trust you because you're not trying to just cut them off, fix them, justify, sell them something. You're actually listening. You really want to know? You really want to know where I am? That's basically what they're saying. Yes, share with me. And they begin to share. This is a very sacred place. If we hear them share a story with us, and we've experienced something somewhere, don't tell your stories. Not right now. There's a time in a little bit when you can't share your story. Right now you're in their world, and your agenda, your stories, everything are out there on the porch. They're not inside here with you. Stay with them. Be safe. It is extremely rare. It is extremely rare. Now that you're safe, create a safe place by listening to understand. Now watch this. If you're on the video, you'll see my arms do this. Watching an empathetic thought float to the surface. If you don't hear a question floating to the surface, just know you don't yet understand. It's okay. Not yet, but you will. Because you'll know that you understand when you go, ah, that's what they're experiencing. I wonder if, and we ask a question. Can't script this for you. This comes out of genuinely caring about someone and listening. The technique is caring. The process is listening. The questions float to the surface. And we ask. And watch somebody go like this. Ah, finally, someone understands. They probably won't verbalize it, but you'll see it in their body posture. You'll hear it in their voice. Now you have created a safe place. You're safe. You create a safe place where there is no need for a wall. And this is a great place to be with another human being in this sacred space where trust abounds because your agenda, your baggage are outside. You're really there showing up for them. Safe place, walls are down, gift has been delivered. They now know that you know where they are, and you didn't need to fix them. That could be the end. No advice. No selling of anything. It could end right there and be complete. However, when they shared so openly, they may have shared something that triggered a thought. Gosh, they really could use my product. Or I really do have an idea how they might address that. Now we get to go through another sacred process. I know I have a lot of dreams, but that seems to be one of the ways I get taught. And I had one. In this dream, I'm on the top of a mountain talking to a man, and he's in an emotional prison. Can't come out. Step into his world. Trust is established. Walls come down. It's a wonderful moment. And then he asked me, Dave, I need your help. Would you help me? Sure. He said, look down there. Down at the bottom of the mountain was a shoreline and a little harbor. He says, can you see that sailboat down there in the harbor? And I said, yes. And he said, that's my sailboat. I need your help to move it to a safe harbor. I thought, okay, I'll do that for you. And I remember walking down the mountain thinking, wow, that's kind of me. I'm thoughtful. Wow, it felt good to feel good like that. Went down, got on this sailboat, harbor to harbor. I remember being in this one harbor. I'm sitting on the back of the boat. Is that the stern? Is that what it's called? Yeah, sitting on the stern. And I'm also sitting on the starboard of the boat. You can do that in a dream. And I do a backflip into the water. And I remember it's crystal clear. I remember being back on the stern and going, this is where I'd put this boat, this 40-foot sailboat I was sitting on. This is where I would put it. If I had a boat like this, this is where I would want it to be. The next thing, I find myself coming up the mountain to meet him. And as I approached him, I could see his countenance go, when I believed that deeply in the fibers of my being, that what I was about to share would serve him, it was discernible. There's a physiological reality called mirror neurons. We all have them. He had them. His mirror neurons were picking up all kinds of subtle signals, facial muscles. There's 200 of them on my face. Billions of possibilities. Mirror neurons can read them all. My body posture, everything. He knew that I was coming with an answer that would serve him. He just knew. And people know. They know. We cannot fake this. It feels really uncomfortable when we're trying to act like what we're about to sell will bless them when we know that it won't. And I opened my mouth and shared with him, but he knew before I said a word. He was grateful. And I woke up. And I'm lying in bed going, that was really bizarre. Mountains, emotional prisons, sailboats, harbors. You know, what does this all mean? And as I was reflecting on all of it, I knew the mirror. I saw the mirror neurons in action. I said, wow, that would be mirror neurons that did that. What's the sailboat all about? And then I had this strong impression. The sailboat represented his dreams. These were his dreams. How was I handling his dreams? Was I honoring them, his hopes and his dreams? I remember this vividly several years ago when I was in Japan. They have a word called nemawashi. It means to bind the roots. At the time, I had decided to work in a network marketing company. I'd produced some television commercials for them and just fell in love with the products. Ramona loved their facial products. I love their nutritional products. And I used the very principles I'm sharing with you, and 2 years into that process, we had an organization of 140,000 distributors, and 70,000 of them were active. It's a wonderful organization built on these principles. I remember sitting in a Japanese restaurant at 3 o'clock in the morning. People are still on the telephone talking. This is amazing work ethic. And I had my translator next to me. I didn't speak Japanese, but I was watching these two people, two men across the table, kneeling and facing one another. And I knew what was happening was very sacred. You could feel the energy. I said, what's happening? And she shared. She said, the one on the right is a new distributor. He is turning over the responsibility for his dreams, his hopes, his wife, and his children to his leader, with the promise that he would work very hard. On the other hand, the leader was accepting that responsibility. It wasn't just accepting it till he put down his money and bought product. Binding the roots, the smallest root, is considered in Japan as critical as the big ones. Every one of them nourished the tree. Whatever it was going to take to assist this man in the fulfillment of his dreams, he was agreeing to do. I thought, this is the perfect example of this man taking this man's sailboat and putting it in a safe harbor. He was a safe harbor for this man's dreams. It's a great place for him to put the dreams. Well, may we, when we're getting ready to share something with someone, let us step back just for a moment and ask, will this really bring value to this person's life? Now, some are in a business like networking, and we may be uncomfortable at times. Well, the blessing in the beginning is personal growth. Benefits from products. May not be money that's been made yet, but it will be. Let us be focused on the improvement that is coming from whatever business you're in, whatever it might be. That is, we're exploring someone's dreams, and it might be a relative. There are times when we're better off examining what we'd like to say and saying, this is not the day. This is not the day. Today's the time to just listen. Today's the time to help them feel intrinsically validated. They don't need me to fix them today. My advice would be viewed more as just fixing, and as much as I'd like to tell them, as much as I'd like to fix them, not today. However, if our intuition is saying, yes, they're ready, and they would like to know, then we simply invite them into our world. It's called gaining agreement. It sounds like, not exactly, but it sounds like, I have some ideas I'd like to share with you. Would you allow me to do so? Well, if they say yes, we take them by the hand. Outside their world, we pick up our agenda. Our baggage we just throw in the trash can. Pick up our agenda. Walk into our world, have them sit down. We open up our suitcase, and we say, out of all the things they shared with me, what do I have that would truly benefit them, who would address that challenge, solve that problem? And that's what we share. That's what we share. Now, if back in their world they say no, we don't want to proceed without their blessing. Because then we are just tearing down their wall with a sledgehammer, throwing up all over it. You're going to need a sale 2 or 3 months from now. You may have just met your sale. So long as you don't violate everything that you've done so far. Thank you. May I stay in touch with you? See if things change. I'm always here. Call me anytime. Thank you. They say yes, and we begin to share. A couple things are going to happen. One, you're going to probably get an objection somewhere along the way if you're selling a product, even if you're sharing advice. Well, objections aren't questions that demand answers. Objections are statements that demand a question. Well, if it requires them to sell product too, they might say, well, I just can't sell. Oh, you don't need to sell. All you need to do is love, blah, 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 blah. You may be telling them about true principles, but the way in which we're telling them is offensive to the process. Remember, an objection is a statement that demands a question. Well, share with me your experience. What's happened? And listen. For the door to open, another verbal hand, step back into their world and create a safe place till the wall comes down. Most objections are handled, quote unquote, by caring enough to hear it out. If it's just an objection where they're just trying to get you out of the house, chances are you violated the process a lot earlier. You go back to looking for the good and verbalizing it, listening for those verbal hints and stepping into someone's world, creating a safe place. Somewhere along the way, we shortcut the process, and now we're paying for it. That's all. It's okay. Learn from the experience and do better next time. So that's one. Number two, Kevin and I were talking about this last night, about getting to this point in a relationship where we want to, quote-unquote, close the deal, convince them, sell them, have them sign up the paper. And as he would say, a close is a transaction. Most of us on this phone, if we're involved in this process, are in relationship sales. We're deciding whether we want to get started. Everything leading up to this point is, do you want to get started? Do you want to open this up? Not a close, but an open. Well, how do we get started? Well, we fill out this paperwork. We decide the products that you want to buy. Or how do we get started? We want to take a look at this in our life or this possibility. Do we want to get started? Do we want to open? This is a powerful thing in this process of connecting with people. If we just want to escape and avoid, if we just want a life of ease, we do want to close. We just want to close, take the money, and get on to the next one. But always remember those two men in Japan, no matter what profession you're in. When someone's making the decision to do business with us, they're expecting us to show up for them. I've got some examples in the PDF of the book, so enjoy those. This is a great opportunity for us to learn to love and serve people. Well, that's connection with people in a nutshell. Everybody's got a wall of resistance. We take down the wall with empathy and intuition. We get empathy and intuition by emptying our own sack, our own life experiences, our greatest asset, and engraving it on our heart. And just knowing that when we go to make that decision, there's going to be some old plaguing voices, and I'm sitting here with Ramona sitting next to me. Just bless her heart. She knows that I'm constantly emptying this sack and doing this process. And quite often in the process, I'm going, I don't want to let go of this. I don't want to wear it here. I want to drag it around. I want people to know how hard I'm working, how difficult this is, the sacrifices, the hours I spent. Oh, my goodness, I've been working on this for 4 years. I've been writing from 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock every morning. So what? So what? So I'm saying to myself, so what, David? It's Harvey Schoaf. An old friend says we'd be less concerned about what people think about us if we knew how little they actually do. Because everybody's focused on their own sack, their own challenges. And when we can engrave it on our heart, we can have reference points to step onto their path and listen. We will hear questions nobody else will hear. We'll ask questions no one else would think to ask. The more painful, the more difficult your life experience is, the more perfectly prepared you are for this very moment in time. Again, everyone looks okay, but they're not. They're just not. The pain in most people's lives, in one area or many, is just overwhelming. And you know what it feels like. You know. Wow, do you ever feel like doing this? Do you ever curl up in bed in a fetal position? Do you ever want to scream? Do you ever want to take it and throw it out the window? What did you do when you were there? What did you feel when you were there? What actions did you take? You cannot go here and look at these reference points if they're behind you being drug in a sack. They're not yours to look at. You haven't owned them. They belong to someone else, somewhere else, doing something different. You don't want them. You can't get rid of them because you're there. They're yours, so you have to drag them. But here's an option for us to get them out of the sack, put them in our heart. As reluctant as we may be, just trust that this is the greatest secret of success. What we are feeling, the emptiness we want to fill, that cup that feels like there's a hole in the bottom, will never be filled being a victim. It's only filled when we're a victor. When we show up listening and we hear something no one else hears, we ask the question no one else thinks to ask, we are safe. When someone gets done talking, we're still listening. We haven't formulated an answer. This isn't about us. We're listening to understand. We're really interested. We're curious. As we begin to gain a better understanding of, oh my goodness, is that where they are? Based on our life experiences, we'll have questions float to the surface. And we'll get to ask those questions. And those questions will validate that we do understand. Safe place, walls down. Now we get to have conversations. People feel validated, affirmed, appreciated, understood. All we need to do. And again, we may learn something while we're there and discover. But what we have in terms of experience or products could truly serve them. Just the right time. If it is, gain agreement, and share. That's when you tell your story. That's when you tell your story. Not all of it, just what needs to be told to meet their needs. The products that will meet their needs. That's connection with people. Well, I'm going to encourage you to spend some time this week with scroll number 2. Scroll number 2, I'll greet this day with love in my heart. Og talks in this scroll about this being a great secret and melting all hearts like the sun is raised soft in the coldest clay. He tells us all these wonderful promises. And then he asks the question, how will I do this? How will I do this? This is a breakthrough for me not too many weeks ago. I've read this scroll 1,000 times. It wasn't until my good friend Susan Zembrunnen had third-degree burns on her shins and feet that it really came home to resonate with me. Because when he says, how will I do this? How will I use this love, this agape love, this heightened level of awareness as a weapon? Open up the hearts of men. How am I going to do this? And every paragraph from that point on has a question. How will I do this? How will I speak? How will I act? How will I react to the actions of others? How will I confront those in whom I meet? But how will I do this comes with a very specific paragraph that tells us that we are to fall in love with the rain, not just the sun, but the rain, with the darkness, with sadness, endure our sadness, to take on obstacles. Oh my goodness, what are you talking about, Og? Og's just simply saying life is going to show up. If we truly want to connect with people, then we start with our life experiences. And he tells us to do 3 things with them. Number 1, he says that we should embrace them. That's so that we can learn lessons from them. We're actually enriched in our own lives by seeing the lessons that can be learned in the challenge. Now, how often when we're faced with a terrible challenge, like Susan with these third-degree burns on her shins and feet, you know, just wish it wasn't that way, but she couldn't go back. It wasn't an option. She couldn't go back. But I watched Susan say, oh, I'm just so grateful. Grateful? Grateful for what? I'm grateful that I was there with 2 of my best friends. One of them put my burning flesh out with her bare hands. I'm so grateful. I was just miles away from a great burn center. I'm so grateful that God was so gracious to have all these things come together for me. When I asked her how it felt, she said it hurt. On a scale of 1 to 10, it was an 11, worse than childbirth. But even then, she was hopeful. I was watching her choose to learn lessons. That was so powerful. That's number 1. So how will I do this? I'll learn from my own lessons. I'll find the good in them. I'm not going to resist them. I'm not going to resent them. I'm not going to rebel against them. I'm not going to stay stuck in them. I'm not going to wish it was different than it is. I'm going to embrace what is and learn from the experience. That's so powerful. So 1. Number 2. I watched Susan do this at a very high level. She made the decision early on that how she handled her challenges would be infectious to those who were observing her behavior. I know that every time I got off the phone, observing how she was handling this incredible experience, I wanted to be a better person. That's a very high level of agape love, a heightened level of awareness. How we handle our challenges impact other people and encourage them. I was just sitting here with Ramona. She strained a ligament in her finger the other day and couldn't move her index finger on her left hand. It was all swollen up. I had to keep asking her how she's doing because she never complained. She just doesn't. So last weekend, being with my mom, stage 4 breast cancer, tumor the size of your fist squeezing off her esophagus. Sometimes she can't breathe. She's dizzy, wants to pass out. Always smiling, always happy, always positive, always. These are amazing people. I want to be more like them. Third, when we've had these experiences and we get them out of our sack and put them in our heart, which is the Chicago dream, we've got our own little Gethsemanes. Our awarenesses of what people are suffering. We hear differently, ask questions differently. That's why Og said, and how will I do this? I will embrace my own challenges and learn from them. I will show up in them in a way that inspires other people. I will learn from them in terms of experience so I can better understand when someone else is experiencing a firestorm of life. When you've had the shins burned off, your skin and your feet, not too many firestorms people can go through that you don't have some level of empathy in terms of mobility, functionality, pain. What a beautiful thing. Now I say beautiful, some might say, wouldn't it be better if it didn't happen? Well, it did happen. Sentinel candle fire pot blew up. It happened. It's not an option. So it not being an option and third degree burns being what they are, those are the three options. Show up and learn. Show up in a way that inspires others. And take this experience so we can better understand when someone else is suffering. That's how we do it. This is the greatest secret of success in all ventures. Well, I encourage you this week, study scroll number 2. He talks about tearing down walls of hate and suspicion. He talks about those times when people throw arrows at us, spears of anger and arrows of anger and spears of hatred. And he talks about wearing our love, our awareness, our agape love like a shield so that we can turn those arrows into the softest of rain and eventually walk unencumbered. People can throw darts and arrows that won't offend us, won't hurt us, because we can't be offended. It's not about us. It's about them. And then the beautiful paragraph about saying silently to myself, I love you. Oh, what a great requirement when we're walking into a person's world to remind ourselves, to say silently to ourselves, I love you. All those things that a mirror neuron picks up, those spoken and silent, these words will shine in my eyes and wrinkle my brow, bring a smile to my lips and echo in my voice, and his heart will be opened. And who is there who will say nay to my goods when his heart feels my love? When mirror neurons communicate, this is a safe person. There is a release of molecules in the body at a cellular level that makes a person feel someone's love. This is at the core of the law of attraction. Very physiological reality. We are built to connect. From the way our empathy functions in our prefrontal cortex to the mirror neurons, we're built to connect, and we're built to practice agape love. We're built for it. 98% of those that we have assessed have very high levels of empathy. I'm going to close with this thought tonight. Because sometimes people teach techniques that are more strategic, more manipulative and coercive. And sometimes people who are highly empathetic, which is basically everyone, feels uncomfortable doing that. I heard one person say icky. They feel icky doing it. When icky gets equated with fear, well, you're just fearful. You got to be more courageous. You need to overcome your fear. Well, most of the time it's not fear, it's intuition. We can feel when we're violating someone's space. We feel bad about doing it, and we feel bad about how they feel and how we feel. We're violating it. And the only way that we can overcome intuitive impressions like that is to anesthetize them, deaden them. We can only do that with dreams of millions of dollars or something like that. All of a sudden, one day, we wake up and go, oh, I just feel awful. I want to stop doing that. And when we stop doing it, we finally get grounded and centered in our empathy and our intuition. And when someone has been forced to violate intuition under the auspices of fear, and they finally step back from it and feel a deep sense of relief, rarely will they reengage. Rarely. So let us not teach those methods. Let us teach what I've shared with you tonight. It doesn't take longer, because we can do it fast and get people sold and then deal with all the damage control. That's what takes a long time and a lot of energy. Who can actually care? Build organizations, teams, relationships on solid footing. Built to last, as Jim Collins would call it. Let us practice this approach. Let us honor our own empathy and intuition and that of others. That's replicatable. That's replicatable. Well, thanks for being with us tonight. Take these principles and apply them in your life. Study scroll number 2. And just know this. No matter how poorly you do this at first, this listening, stepping into someone's world, you're going to be tempted to tell your story or something else. It's going to happen. No matter how poorly you do this at first, it's most likely going to be the best intrinsic validation experience that person has ever had. I mean, when was the last time someone cared enough about you to just listen without an agenda or a need to fix you? When was the last time that happened? I've asked that question thousands of times in one-on-one coaching sessions, and there's always this lull. My wife did it once, or my grandmother. Rarely is there an answer, evidenced by the fact this is rare. When you make the choice to step outside of your world, put what's in your sack, in your heart, as a ready reference, and listen. Doors open, you step in. You just do that alone, and you are so rare. You're going to start to have some very precious experiences in your life. And they'll only get better with practice. Well, thanks, everyone. It's been a pleasure to be with you tonight. Look forward to being with you next week. Next week, we're going to take on mental creation. We're going to learn how to use your vivid visualization in a way that it will ignite your passion and drive your focus and discipline, effort and action to create intangible reality, that which you've seen so clearly in your mind. It's the first stage of creation, a two-stage process, mental and physical. Let's learn how to do the first one correctly so that we can experience that passion and work in passion-driven action. Nobody gets to skip the work of creation. Nobody. You can't get prepared long enough. It's the bridge between preparation and realization. You want to cross it? That's called the work of creation. It's either hard, burdensome, boring, mundane repetition, or it's passion-driven. Next week, we're going to discover how to do the work of creation, passion-driven, by using your gift of vivid visualization in 5 different constructive ways. So come back next week. Let's take this on. And enjoy this process. Right now, estimation, we're looking at sometime in January for the book, just so you know. So excited to get that in your hands, and so excited to have you assist us and get it in the hands of other people. We're going to have some really interesting special opportunities for people to coach by assisting us in getting books out into people's hands. So be prepared to jump in and appreciate and participate in those activities. Until then, until next week, may this be the very best day of your life. Good night.